Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Oh, welcome to it on a terrific Tuesday here in the capital city. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman coming at you for Old School 93.7, The Ticket and theticketfm.com. As always, show brought to you by who, Jay Foreman?
The Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Grades of Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andermatt slash Old Cheney, and 168th and Maple up there in the O.
In the win column, Minnesota Vikings. In the loss column, the Chicago Bears. Plenty to get to from last night's Monday night football game. Early impressions of what went on in Minnesota with J.J. McCarthy. Early impressions of Ben Johnson and Chicago. 27-24, Minnesota ends up winning the game. Plenty to get to as well from Dana Holgorsen and John Butler, their weekly gathering with the local media. And interesting moves being made or not made in this week's top 25 of the AP poll. 402.
Oh, it's interesting.
464-5685. It is.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to give you a free clip. I'm just going to just tell you about college football. It's not real. It's not real. You think I'm joking? Look at you. Your Obi-Wan Kenobi is not working on me ever again.
Like wrestling kayfabe, not real?
It is not real. You want to get started? You want to do it right now?
We doing like the American Airlines lady? That is not real. Is that what we're talking about?
You could do it. It's not real. Let's do this right now.
Okay, we're doing this right now.
Okay, did you want to do it later?
We'll do it now.
4 o'clock. No,
we'll do it now. It's fine. We're on the topic. Let's do it.
No, let's tease it.
Okay.
People got to keep it listening. 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to let you know how college football is not real. It is not. It is factual. It's not real. It is.
I can't believe what I'm getting myself into.
And I want Nebraska fans to listen, and I'm going to explain to you why it's not real.
At 4 o'clock.
At 4 o'clock. And I'm explaining to you why Nebraska fans need to be in uproar. See, I don't need to do any social media posts or anything like that. I don't need to, you know, get engaged in it. I'm just going to let you know, Nebraska fans, if you want to hear, Nebraska fans, you need to cause all holy hell. Nebraska fans, Georgia Tech fans, unite. You remember when they
make your waves.
Remember when they had COVID? Nebraska joined up with Ohio State and then mm-hmm. Michigan was mad? Mm-hmm. Desmond Howard was mad? So now we got Nebraska fans and the smart guys down there in Georgia.
The engineers. The bees.
So then they can run the numbers. Together. They can get the bots going. Mm-hmm. Nebraska fans just use their emotions. I'm going to just explain to you just one example this weekend why it's not real and how it has lasting effects and who's really pushing the buttons behind the scenes. Oh, look at this. 3106785. What are you talking about, Jay? I'm about to tell you. Listen at 4
p.m.
O'clock.
4 p.m. We'll hit it top of the
hour.
He's
trying to get me to do it right now.
He's trying. He's not Obi-Wan Kenobi, though. The mind trick's not working on you. Mm-mm. Jay, how about this? Monday, second time in franchise's history, the Twins and the Vikings win on the road on the same day, regular season or postseason. The other time came back in September of 1985. Starting pitcher for the Twins that day, Bert Blyleven, and the starting quarterback for the Vikings that day, Tommy Kramer.
Oh, yeah.
It's been 40 years.
Touchdown, Tommy Kramer.
Since both the Twins and the Vikings win on the road. It was not easy for the Vikings. J.J. McCarthy went from shook as all get out, bad pick six, gives the Bears a two-possession lead, to Joe Cool, ice in his veins, three fourth-quarter touchdowns. Vikings complete the week one comeback on the road at Soldier Field.
Yeah, you look, he hadn't played. You know, he had a really good preseason last year and then got hurt. So he hadn't played football essentially in a long time, a year and a half. And so you expect him to be – and Monday Night Football. And so he didn't even get the noon game where you can kind of go under the radar. Here's lights, camera, action. He's from Chicago area. A lot of pressure on that dude. And, you know, and so, yeah, sure, you should – late on a out route, super late, was a no-no. And he knew it. And it's probably one of those things that you got to learn. Look, it happened to Peyton Manning. It's happened to millions of times. But I think right now, you know, I think the light switch came on. I think the fourth quarter probably should give him a lot of confidence along with the rest of his teammates and what he can do. And they didn't have a full arsenal of you know, players, you know. And, you know, they ran the ball better than not the investment via the Colts and their offense from, you know, coming from free agency.
Kelly and Fries.
Paid off.
Big time.
So the Vikings fans should be excited. J.J. McCarthy does wear number 9 like touchdown Tommy Kramer.
Hello.
You didn't know that, did you?
I did not know that. Thank you for telling me.
Burt Blyleven. And yeah, you know, so when the Twins won with the Homer Hankies, they had a I forget what it's called. It's kind of like this soup that they make up in Minnesota. It has cheese on top, but they named it after Burt Blyleven. And he was doing the I don't know if you call it play by play or analyst for the Twins for a while.
He was. Yeah. That I vaguely remember.
Yeah.
Good pitcher.
Oh yeah.
Really good pitcher.
Yeah, those Twins had the Twins. I mean, the Homer Hankies were for real.
They were. Puckett.
They had my man Dave Winfield.
Dave Winfield.
Kent Herbeck. Dan Gladden. Chuck Knobloch before he went nuts.
Chuck Knobloch.
I don't know what happened.
There's a name.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then touchdown Tommy Kramer.
Yeah, Chuck Knobloch just got the yips. It was a problem.
Yeah, it was when he went to the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there were some outside issues that led to that. Trust me when I tell you.
Okay, we will take your word on that one. Let's start with the Vikings standpoint of things, Jay. Rookie quarterback, first game experience on the road, division rivals. Not that the Bears have a tremendously ferocious defense, but they're still NFL players on that side of the ball. To throw a pick six and then to rally in the fourth quarter, what does that tell you about, number one, J.J. McCarthy, and number two, Kevin O'Connell?
Well, Kevin O'Connell was, you know, had been in, you know, well, like I say, in love with J.J. McCarthy from the get-go. So, you know, he's going to get every chance to be successful. But everything that Kevin O'Connell had said indirectly and directly about him was on display. They liked his leadership. They liked his moxie. They liked his mental toughness. He's a winner, even though it was aided, you know. But you know, Kevin O'Connell, you know, I think his experience as a player has made him a better coach. I mean, obviously, he's been on Hard Knocks and getting released, but then also he understands the quarterback position. He did a really good job with Sam Darnold on the kind of like on the move, because originally they were going to start, you know, J.J. McCarthy. And the Chicago Bears, you know, I felt like before we started to see them in the preseason, because very early you started to hear some of the things you saw last night, especially on the offensive and from Ben Johnson's offense, which is very detailed. He's a hard-nosed coach, and the Bears, you know, they kind of were struggling for a while, but defensively I felt like they have the potential and they played pretty good and are formidable, and very easily you could have seen a rookie quarterback go in the tank. You could even reference back to Sam Darnold to when he played the Patriots when he was with the Jets, seeing ghosts and all that. You know, he was able to fight through it. I think the defense for the Vikings kept him around long enough so he can kind of, you know, woke up a little bit. And I think I also, from a veteran standpoint defensively, you're knowing that this it might be a little bit tough sledding, so you stayed around. And Brian Flores, you know, I think called a pretty good defensive game. And they, you know, they were able to hang tight. I don't think they played very well defensively compared to what they did last year against the Bears. But I think the Bears are better offensively. So I think it was a good hard-nosed win. Anytime you can win in the NFL, man, it's a big deal.
It was just interesting to see the juxtaposition and the changing of course the 180 that J.J. McCarthy did from the first half and even into the third quarter looked a little rattled, looked a little unsure. Other guys weren't stepping up, making plays around him. Run game really didn't get going until the fourth quarter when it was money time. And then they started hitting on some stuff. Contrast that, Jay, with Caleb Williams. Now in year two for Chicago, obviously first-year head coach in Ben Johnson, Caleb completes his first 10 passes and then goes in the tank from there.
Yeah.
What fell apart for the Bears? What did the Vikings do to adjust and make Caleb Williams uncomfortable?
Well, they kept him in the pocket, threw off the timing. But you also have to understand those first 10 completions, and obviously it's not all the 15 plays, but that's the script that you're coming up. So those are plays that you're 100% most confident in, because those are the ones that you're running at most in practice. Then you got to play football. And then also Brian Flores, you know, whether you like him, love him, or hate him, I mean, everybody loves him as a coach, especially now that I think that he's, you know, he said that he's grown since the Dolphins fiasco, and who knows how, you know, true that was, or whatever the dynamics of that situation was. He's a great, you know, defensive coordinator. So he made some adjustments, and the Vikings have the personnel to make in-game adjustments, and you expect it. And that's what they did. They said, okay, let's keep him in the pocket. Let's make him throw from the pocket. Let's make him be disciplined. Caleb Williams' appeal is he's like and the only reason I'm going to say this guy's name is because we were just talking about Tommy Kramer. Mm-hmm. He's like a Fran Tarkenton on steroids. Fran Tarkenton is a Vikings great quarterback. He'd run
NFL
around.
NFL great quarterback.
Yeah. In a Hall of Fame, run around, then he'd throw a pass. That's what Caleb Williams can really do.
Is Caleb Big Kyler?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably, yeah. And, you know, I think he's, I think he is. And so the things that Caleb needs to do and to get better at is just playing the position of quarterback. And that's what you have to do in this kind of, you know, Ben Johnson. He'll give you freedom because I'm sure that he wishes maybe Goff was a little bit more fleet of foot. But you saw the drastic change once they really clamped in on him. The production and the efficiency, like, literally went off the cliff. And so that's where they were able to kind of get the momentum back or subside the initial inertia of the Bears. And then they were just able to hold tight. And like you said, the running game got going. I think the different type of runner that the Vikings brought in versus Jones.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou. For you to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Really started to punch, and that's obviously Jordan Mason started to really punch holes into the Bears defense, and they just started just churning out 21 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's unheard of in the NFL.
It's hard to do in college, unless you're playing, you know, Podunk State. It doesn't happen in games against teams with pulses.
17-6 going into the fourth quarter. That's game, set, match. I mean, six points for an NFL offense going in there, that's like anemic. That's like when I was with the Texans. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're already, you know, they're just going to just roll this thing out, and we can't get over 50. The game's over. Mm-hmm. They just started really articulating and, you know, that big pass up the sideline. That was a really good pass to Jones. And then he hit Justin Jefferson, and next thing you know, they're back in business.
There was that drive at the end of the third quarter, into the fourth quarter, where things really unraveled for Chicago. Missed opportunities, sack, they get moved backwards out of field goal range. And then it seemed like it was on for Minnesota. Like, okay, you know what? There's the door cracked open. Well, we're going to do our best to run through it. I'm glad you brought that up about Ben Johnson and Jared Goff, Jay, because I think there's a lot of things that Ben Johnson would have liked Jared Goff to be able to do and be a little better on the run, be a little bit more mobile,
creative.
A little more creative, yeah, absolutely off out schedule, of structure, yeah, off schedule, out of system. But again, it's one game, too early to draw conclusions. I think there's a part of Ben Johnson, and especially the way that, like you said, very detailed, hard-nosed, particular, where he's almost better off with a Jared Goff who is physically limited, who he can scheme around, than a Caleb Williams who might not have a grasp of all the details, who might not have a grasp of all the fundamentals and the footwork, the position. Both guys have their pros and their cons. And Ben Johnson had a lot more time with Jared Goff than he's had with Caleb Williams so far.
Or a Caleb Williams type.
Or a Caleb Williams type, exactly. Yeah. It's going to be, you would think, easier to teach a Caleb Williams type the football knowledge, the IQ, and the fundamentals. That should be easier than teaching Jared Goff how to be faster, how to be more creative, how to take more chances. But clock's ticking. You're an NFL head coach. You don't have forever. And this is a former 1-1 draft pick in Caleb Williams. So yes, there's plenty of things that Caleb Williams does that Jared Goff couldn't, that Ben Johnson might have liked. But I also think there's a lot of reasons that Ben Johnson and Jared Goff had success together because Goff was consistent in the pocket and because he grasped the details, the fundamentals of the game, and kind of like we talked about with the Colts and Daniel Jones, kept things running on schedule.
Yeah, and it's going to take some time and patience if you're going to want the best of both worlds. One, Johnson being successful and Williams successful, you know, obviously being a Chicago Bear, because you cannot continue to go through the plethora of quarterbacks and ruining quarterbacks' careers like this and think that, you know, you're a storied, you know, franchise and you got a crazy fan base. And so, you know, I think it's got to be, I think now the onus, majority of the onus is on Caleb Williams to catch up on the things that will only allow him to be a great player longer in their career. And I always talk about Cam Newton. Once Cam Newton physically started to break down, he didn't have the fundamentals to play the position that he needed to play. He was an unstoppable force for the first 8, 9, or however many years in his quarter, in the league. No doubt about it. Whereas Caleb Williams needs to probably catch up that way, right? And then also Ben Johnson has to come a little bit towards Caleb. And we talk about Carolina Panthers, right? Was it Cornelius that comes up from Tampa? He gets to Charlotte. He ready to run Bryce Young up out of there.
Like that. Barely met the guy.
Right. Where, like you took the job knowing who the franchise quarterback is. Yes, you have an offense that works, but you don't have a St. Brown yet, right? You don't have
now. Tet McMillan was fun, but that's this year, not last year,
right? What I'm saying for Ben Johnson coming from Detroit, you don't have a St. Brown, right? And you had to develop him. You don't have the two pronged running attack to the same right. You don't have the offensive line, and you're not Dan Campbell. You're the head coach now, so you were the coordinator, kind of like, all right, this is what I need to make my meal. Now you got to really facilitate it all. And you don't have Williams as the number, you know, an opposite. And it's going to take time for you to get something like it because whether it's Moore, let me see, what's his name from Washington? Adunze. Komet, is he your tight end of the future? You really didn't target him, or you target him 4 times, but you're really trying to get him. Because the 131-yard catch was a one-handed catch. Mm-hmm. So you really were, you know, I almost guarantee Laporta's in the offensive scheme a lot earlier and often than you had Komet last night.
And then Loveland, that you spent your first draft pick on, 2 for 12 compared to 7 catches on 76 for Tyler Warren. And again, not the same offense, not the same situation, but Loveland went higher. That's a guy that you thought they'd like.
And you drafted him for his skill set to create space to make it easier for this quarterback to be in this offense. And then you got a diamond, not a diamond in the rough. You just essentially got a first round pick that fell to you in the second round in Luther Burden.
Yeah.
So now you have, so it's going to take some time to find out role definition and identity, but I think there's got to be definitely some more give and take. And it's also, it's on Caleb Williams. Cause you got to run this offense, dude. Mm-hmm. All right. And you can't say this isn't the coach. This dude knows how to call plays. And then you need to catch up fundamentally in his footwork, his knowledge of the game. It's eliminating all the noise that you either create or it's outside of the facility. Mm-hmm. And you got to really dive into this. This is not playtime. This is not the time when you hear Allen that's back at the Chargers talking about you want everybody to paint your nails because you know this is fun time. This is not cupcake league. This is the maturity. This is where you have to mature. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going into Lincoln Riley's office and say, start me or I'm gone. Well, and then it did work out, obviously, right? You're not coming into Ben Johnson's office and doing that. You got to prove yourself and establish yourself. And so it's got to be give or take. And I don't think Ben Johnson's the type of like coach, like I felt like Cornelius was down there, like I'm the dude. And then eventually Bryce Young went in there and played. Now all of a sudden, like we're all hunky dory. I think he wants Caleb Williams to be successful. Mm-hmm. They just got to build that relationship, and it's early.
And I do think that Ben Johnson, from all accounts, what we heard in Detroit, it's not my way or the highway. This is what we're doing. If you don't fit in my box, you're not my quarterback. I do think that Ben Johnson has enough of that Kevin O'Connell in him, at least looking in from the outside, to meet Caleb Williams where he's at, to try to bring him along while still not changing his standard. Caleb, here are the throws I need you to make. Here's how I need your eyes to move. Here's how I need your feet to move. You can adjust to your quarterback that you have without compromising your standards or changing your principles. And I think Ben Johnson is, you know, the guy to do that. But here's the thing, Jay. Ben Johnson walked into arguably the best coach division in football. Arguably. Is that in the AFC West? I mean, you look at
top
Reed,
to bottom.
Carroll, yeah. Harbaugh, and Peyton. That's really tough to beat in the AFC West. But think about what we've seen from the other three franchises just over the last 5 years. LaFleur, Campbell, and O'Connell all hired. We know what Kevin O'Connell's done with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Obviously, last year with Sam Darnold, even Daniel Jones toward the end of the year. Look what Dan Campbell did to flip around the culture of that organization with Ben Johnson as one of his lieutenants there, obviously. Then Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
The Malik Willis thing last year. I mean, he's won at a high clip ever since he got to Green Bay. Ben Johnson can be a really good coach and still be fighting for third best coach in his division, which makes every opportunity that he doesn't win magnified that much more. Especially, by three other guys in that division you have already.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, he knows the division, but you also know what you're getting into. It's a black and blue division. It's tough, and everybody's been leveling up, and the Bears have done a decent job of doing it. And so it's just one game, but also when you haven't won a lot, and you're trying to teach guys how to win, and you came from a winning organization, and he's probably seen that things are a lot different, you know, not being in Detroit where, you know, let's face it, Dan Campbell literally had to build that from the ground up. And so he's been through some lean times. So I think his experience of going through that is good. But then also you have probably a little bit higher expectations with a former number one quarterback. So, you know, it's a tale of two different organizations, two different quarterbacks. I think you can take a lot of good out of both. Early Caleb Williams, learn from the middle part. Late J.J. McCarthy, learn from the beginning, and then piece together that situational football and go from there. So it's tough, man. I mean, it's the Vikings that plane ride home with the Vikings is a lot different than the long drive home from the Bears through traffic in Chicago traffic, based on about 6 minutes of football.
I mean, key 6 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, that's the hard thing. And you know, we'll see how you know, it goes moving forward.
We'll get to this from Cubsker before we take our first break of the show. Jay, have you given your thoughts on Jabril Peppers signing with Pittsburgh?
You know, I think that's it. I mean, I think what's crazy is that when he got released from the Patriots, and he's a veteran, still had guaranteed money. They said it wasn't a skill thing. It's more of, all right, they're gutting the team. They're telling you that we're gutting the team.
Yeah.
And so They respectfully let him go. They're still paying it. And then go to Pittsburgh. They had an injury in Pittsburgh. I think he fits Pittsburgh. He has position flexibility. I think he's, you know, matured. So I think that's a good fit. I think he'll do well. You know, initially they were supposedly going to pick up Shiloh Sanders, who's the same type of player. Obviously, Peppers is significantly better at this point in time. A thumper can help on special teams. So now you got a veteran that can step right in and make some plays.
I remember Jabril Peppers tearing it up in college for Michigan and then getting drafted where he did by the Browns. I mean, 25th overall. That was supposed to be Charles Woodson 2.0. Yeah, he was Travis Hunter before Travis Hunter with what he was able to do both sides of the ball, punt returns. But now that he's been bad, I mean, he's stuck around in the NFL since 2017. That's not nothing. Never really been a star, but to his credit, he still carved out a career despite maybe not living up to the hype that he had coming out of college.
Yeah, I think almost he did. He was kind of like a man without a position, whereas like Travis Hunter had two positions legit.
Sure.
And sometimes that can happen. You know, you can be a jack of all trades, master of none. And you know, I think he probably, you know, had the straight ahead speed, maybe a little bit too tight of hips. Then you go to the Cleveland Browns. You know, if you start off with the Patriots, still when they have Belichick and Brady and the defensive mindset and development and all that, versus him getting there later, you know, I think it maybe his career's different. So he'll do well in Pittsburgh. He still has plenty, fuel in the tank, and he's tough. He's physical. Teammates like him, so I think he can extend his career as long as he wants.
College football is fake. We'll get to that coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. What's not fake? We heard from Dana Holgorsen and John Butler earlier today. What did the coordinators have to say in reaction to Nebraska's 68-0 win over Akron? We'll hear from them after this on Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back here on Old School. Austin Foreman and Jay Foreman with you. Heard from Nebraska coordinators Dana Holgorsen and John Butler earlier today. Interesting stuff from both of those guys. They met with the media for, I don't know, probably about 45 minutes between the two of them, maybe half an hour, I would say, actually, give or take. Jay, I assume you're going to want to start on defense. So I'll get the John Butler stuff pulled up first here. So while we wait for it to load, I remember this quote pretty vividly. First question he got was, what does a shutout mean to you? Let's start with you, Jay.
Yeah.
When your defense is pitched a shutout, what did that mean to you?
It's a pride thing. And obviously, I think, when you can pitch a shutout and you when it's a, annihilation, a blowout like that, I mean, I think that's one, you want the younger guys to go in and perform well to hold the fort down. So I think it's a bigger thing than just, the starters are out there. Because generally when you pitch a shutout, now granted, we played in games where we shut guys out, when we had to, rock and roll all game. But in reference to this game, and they haven't done it. I mean, this is a, going to be a, hopefully a 10-year first. I mean, obviously, look, hadn't made a bowl game in a long time. Hadn't had a shutout since 2009. No matter who you're playing, when you haven't had a lot of tangible, results in a positive way, you want to make sure that you complete the mission. And so I think that's a big deal.
That's what a shutout means to Jay Foreman. What does a shutout mean to John Butler? Here's the Nebraska DC.
Nothing, honestly. I didn't know until after the game. What was it, since 2009? Is that right? So that's pretty cool, right? I mean, that's a big, it doesn't mean nothing, but like we're trying to play to a standard. And I think that at times against Cincinnati, we played to that standard, and at times we didn't. And against Akron, I think we played to that standard more, but we still have ways to go and ways to develop. And on defense, ultimately, your job is to prevent them from scoring. So 0 points is outstanding. I don't really ever care about yards, passing yards, rushing yards. I care about explosive yards. Giving up explosive plays leads to winning or losing a game. And obviously giving up points leads to winning or losing a game. So I think it's pretty cool that we had the shutout, but I didn't know until hours after the game. Somebody said it was since 2009. So
thought that was kind of funny. Nothing. Yeah. I mean, it's the job. It's the objective. Thought that was very cut and dry, but then I like what he continued to go on to say, not looking at yards, not looking at, rushing versus passing yards, looking more at explosives. That's what tends to win or lose games more in college. I would push back a little bit and say that from this side of things, yards are somewhat predictive. The more yards that you get, the more likely you are to score points, but they're not everything. I think going bend but don't break and living by that philosophy can be a little bit dangerous, because obviously you want to be dominant, right? Three and out, get off the field. Three and out, get off the field. Three and out, get off the field. You're going to give up some yards as a defense, but I think overall, I like John Butler's approach and attitude from that answer there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a, you know, I mean, look, he's coming from the NFL, and that's what, you know, at the end of the day, you want to score more points than the other team. If you win every game, 40 of the 39, you're a Super Bowl champ, you know, so that's all that matters. And it's both ways. I mean, it's depending on who you're playing and how the game's going. I mean, when you say like you're playing Ohio State, right, you know, look, you're not going to shut them out. So, you know, you got to really be excellent when you get them in this third and more than manageable for the defense. We got to make those plays. We got to be excellent in the red zone. And so that's where that you can have all the yards you want. I mean, that's fine. As long as you ain't scoring, you're just wasting time. You know, and so that's really when he's thinking about it, or what he's saying, that's probably, you know, what he means. And there is a lot of truth to it. I think the days of game 1 through 12, just and Georgia did it, where you're just dominating people. And Alabama did it, and that time,
so they're putting double digit guys in the NFL,
right? And then it was a different, even back when they were doing it, college football was different. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's different in the sense you're getting guys and they're not as invested in those type of team like goals. So, you know, you gotta, you know, take it when you can get it.
How did your defenses invest in those goals as a team?
We had no choice. We weren't getting paid. We were broke. We was broke, man. We was out there playing for each other. We didn't have guys making more than coaches. We weren't making anything. Thanks to you. No, just playing.
Breakout star for Nebraska in this game, even throughout fall camp a little bit, Cade Pechak. John Butler was asked about him. Here is his response.
I think he's got great DNA when it comes to being a football player. Like, I don't know if you guys know him at all, but he's got that look in his eye. He's got a little bit. I told the guys the other day, I coached 10 years in the NFL, and all the best defensive linemen I've ever been around had a little bit something off on about him in a good way, meaning that, you know, they were there because they knew that was the toughest, the most physical position that you're going to play in, and you're battling every Sunday. And then you look at Cade, and he has that look about him that he's going to play really hard, play very physical, play with a lot of passion. We wanted to play him a little bit more in the Cincinnati game, and did not. That's our fault. We should have played him more. But when he played this past weekend, he played to a level that we expect him to play and continue to get better. And I think he's going to help us. I think he'll be a steady member of that front moving forward.
Encouraging to hear for a young guy that certainly flashed against Akron. You know, opponent is what it is, but he proved he could do it. They're going to hold him to that standard again. I want to go back to kind of the first part though, Jay. Best defensive lineman John Butler said he's been around seem like they have a little something off about him. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think every football player defensively, you got a little off.
It's incredible that you seem so well adjusted now.
Catch me on the wrong day, you were for hell.
I've worked with you for 3 years and haven't caught you on the wrong day yet, so I'm starting to like my chances.
I definitely have some talks with myself before I enter the building. Just playing. The defensive line, for sure. You're just getting banged around all day. I'm just kind of going through the guys that I play with, and I played with some Hall of Famers. So, I mean, I Bruce Smith had a switch. It was definitely was off. Ted Washington, for sure. Marcellus Wiley. I think the guy that maybe is comparable to Cade is I play with a guy named Phil Hansen. And, you know, Phil just got he went to North Dakota State, I think. He even went to one of the Dakotas. I know that because we would always fly home together and he'd go to Minneapolis, and then he would fly somewhere else, obviously to the Dakotas. But, you know, it was Bruce Smith, Ted Washington, and Phil was a starter. But the first guy in every fight was Phil, the guy that would walk linemen back via, you know, having their hand around their neck was Phil. The funny thing about it, he was our player rep. So when it came time to present to the team, he has like a golf shirt on and his glasses. And he's like, all right, this is what you need to, you need to invest in your 401k and you need to do this and that. And, you know, this is, you know, he's like, you need any help, I'll help you. So, yeah, you got me from Grant Wisdom, Jared Tomich, even like Mike Rucker, the Kelsey brothers, Van de Bosch, obviously the Peter brothers, even guys like Jeff Ogard, even Jason. Well, yeah, you're definitely a little off. I mean, you can't play defensive line being nice.
We heard that from John Butler and Matt Rhule throughout the year as well. Let's switch over to Dana Holgorsen. Was asked and brought up about more of the explosive plays. Here's Nebraska's offensive coordinator.
Depends on plays and tackle this weekend, which the biggest challenge for you is.
Just kidding. That was mislabeled. So this is John Butler about positional versatility and not pigeonholing some of the players on his defense.
The biggest challenge for you as a coach is, not me personally, but all of us, is don't pigeonhole players into a role that you think they are. Put them in the best possible position to make plays. So we put Petchak in a different position. He went out there and made plays. And really, when you look at our defense, the end position and the tackle position in a lot of our three down fronts are very, very similar. So I think we have to continue to identify the winners, you know, the most competitive, the toughest, the ones that give the most effort, the ones that execute the best, the ones that care about the teammates the most. We're continuing to find them. We're finding some of them in our younger guys, which we have no problem playing younger players as long as they fit and play to that standard. So, you know, Cade Williams, obviously Cam's been pretty consistent. You know, Gabe Moore did some things for us out there. He's a big human that can help us in the inside of our defense. So.
Another guy that John Butler would go on to talk about that not pigeonholing a player, Jay, is Desaun McCullough. What have you seen from the Indiana and now Oklahoma transfer to Nebraska through a couple games of that jack position?
I mean, I think like you said, I think, you know, they kind of move them all over the place. You know, they play them on the right, they play them on the left. You know, they kind of like move them around if they're in their kind of like, I guess, dime or peso, you know, like where it's like obvious. And you haven't seen much. It's only been, you know, 2 weeks, but you've seen even just right off the get-go in Kansas City. I thought he played different positions. He gives you some flexibility because he's legit 6'5", you know, 215-25 pounds. So he can play like a little bit linebacker. I'm sure he could probably play stack linebacker. You know, I'm sure he can blitz. He's, he obviously made some plays at Oklahoma where he's playing even nickel at times. So it gives you a lot of flexibility of different body types, just like on offense it does if you have somebody, you know, with that type of initial build. And then he talked about some of the younger guys that have, like Gabe Moore, right? You know, I think he was fighting an injury for a while, I think. That's mm-hmm. what, you know, Coach Rhule said. And once he got healthy, I mean, right at first play in the game, he got in and got busy. And so you just got, you know, you get, I won't say instant depth, but you get a guy that came from Mississippi State. Obviously, so he had some sort of pedigree to be in your brother-in-law's, you know, league in the SEC, right? So that, yeah, there is something there. And so, you know, the more the merrier. And like I said, if it doesn't matter if you're old, young, new, or just kind of been on, you know, waiting in the wings, if you show that you can play, they're gonna play.
Elijah Moore, oh no. Gabe Moore, yeah. Oh yes.
Yeah, exactly.
The way
yeah,
we're headed.
Yeah, I mean, look, Matt Rhule has showed, I mean, I guess the coaching staff, right? I shouldn't say Matt Rhule, but obviously when Tony White was here, they have showed, listen, if you can play, first of all, if you play hard, which is also lets you know the state of like college football in general, effort is a skill now. It was mm-hmm. not, it was what you just did earlier. Guys that play hard, they're investing in their teammates and themselves and winning and doing the right thing. If I'm listening to him, if I'm a high school kid, if I'm just a player, listening to Coach Butler, it's easy to play. He just told you.
Do what we expect.
He said, just go out. He said, look, show up, play football, be invested, don't be selfish, and play hard. I mean, if it couldn't even be more simple than that, because usually now you're worried about, you know, star rankings and what's been promised and all that. These dudes are like, hey, look, if you just do like A, B, C, and D, and let's just throw on an E every once in a while, you'll be out there. So if you ain't playing, it's on your fault.
No one to blame but yourself.
And like I said before, when you're trying to win, you can't, like, you see it in the NFL, coach gets signed, you can't wait to year three to win.
No.
So nowhere. So you got to win. You got to show progress. So
if your coach can't wait till year three to win, you shouldn't wait till year three to want to play,
right,
or to start acting like you're going to play.
Right. And so you got to be able to work while you wait. You got to be able to, you know, have competitive stamina. And that's the, you know, what he's talking about.
We'll go to break here. One or two cuts from Dana Holgorsen to wrap up hour one of Old School. Don't forget, also $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings on the line for you. We'll give you the question here from Dana Holgorsen wrapping up hour one.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back putting a bow on hour one of Old School. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you. Here's your chance to win $30 to our friends at Buffalo Wings and Rings with two local Lincoln locations, 68th and O and 40th and Old Cheney. Here is the question. Before J.J. McCarthy last night, who was the most recent NFL starting quarterback to overcome a 10-point or more deficit in the fourth quarter and win in his NFL debut? Very notable name. See if you can get it. Texter number one with the right answer. You'll win the $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings. Before J.J. McCarthy, who was the most recent NFL starting quarterback to overcome a 10-point or more deficit in the fourth quarter and win in his NFL debut? 402-464-5685. Anthony, the guess of Cam Newton is a good one, but it is incorrect. J.J. McCarthy made some history alongside Cam Newton as the first player with three different touchdowns there in his debut. I think it was the two rushing and the one passing, or two passing and one rushing for JJ.
Cam Newton's first game, he went bonkers.
Bananas.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
I think they weren't ever down by 10 points.
No.
Yeah.
Fran Tarkenton, incorrect. Jordan Love, incorrect. Waterboy, you are in. You got the right answer. Steve Young.
Yep.
Steve Young in his NFL debut rallies the Niners back for the fourth quarter win. We will end up getting your information. Waterboy, $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings is yours. Jay, do you want to get to this from Dana Holgorsen? Very first answer he gave today about the offensive rhythm, the flow of the game against Akron. Really like this answer from Dana Holgorsen. We'll hear from the Husker OC right here.
We were in phase from the beginning. Drive one, we moved it down, scored. Drive two, we moved it down, fumbled onto one. Unfortunate. Can't ever happen. Drive three, we moved it down and stalled out on the one, right? So I wasn't getting in rhythm. I mean, those two specific drives were just ugly finish, right? So the rhythm was there. We just didn't finish those drives. The fourth drive was irritating. That's when we stalled. Okay, that's when we stalled. And Ja'Cory had the punt return to the 20. That's like a sudden change. I mean, we should treat that like a sudden change, you know, go out there with urgency and execute. And then we just went out there and three plays in a row, we didn't execute. That was irritating. That was the most frustrating thing of the whole night, you know. And so got to do a better job. I thought the rhythm was there. It's just those situations it's inexcusable not to be successful in those situations, sudden change or finishing in the low red zone.
Strong words there from Nebraska's offensive coordinator on a night where pretty much everything went right for Nebraska. He wasn't just perturbed, wasn't just, that's annoying. He was irritated by the two drives that Nebraska didn't finish inside the 5-yard line. Jay, talk about that sudden change and what Dana Holgorsen's talking about, and as a player, what your attitude and approach need to be.
It's got to be, I mean, you practice it sometimes. You know, you want to make sure that you can really snap into action, and then you want to make sure you don't, you know, stub your toes. And so it's a mentality, like a lot of times on defense, the offense, you know, has a turnover, a sudden change. You know, you pretty much throw the water, Gatorade down, find your helmet, and you get out there and you go and get busy. And then you want to make sure that you have, like, if you're back to, like, if the offense turns the ball over deep in our own red zone, immediately you're thinking, hold them to field goal or turnover. And then offensively, if you get a sudden change, say you get a defense, a short field, punch it in and score, and that's complimentary football.
And you can't be on your heels to do that. How do you come out as the aggressor in that situation, even when, let's take the defensive example in your case, offense just turned it over, you're facing a short field, momentum, Uncle Mo, whatever you want to call it, is with the other team. How important and how do you go about trying to swing that momentum?
Well, you got to know the mentality of the team. They're going to try to score within the first two plays. And so really it's going to come down one. You got to make sure that you get everybody's attention. You got to communicate. You really got to over communicate. right? Because right now you're going in the straight like red zone. is DEFCON 1. You go, okay, we got to have nowhere. Red zone, principles that they're going to want to do. And so that's where your film study, comes in, and being able to have good leadership and be able to think on your toes. And then you just got to go out there and execute. And that's when, I was blessed enough to play with some really good players, and we played together. So we were able to kind of, withstand some of those things. And, you also got to look at it, embrace that challenge. The worst thing you could do, either or, offense going out there or defense going out there or whatever it may be, I'll just focus on the defense, is like kind of go out there with a kind of defeated attitude. Like you're mad at the offense. Like the offense isn't trying.
We can give up points here. We're in a tough situation.
Right. Like, a woe is me type of, Dom Capers used to call it the loser's lean. And you go out there, really, you got to flip your mind and say, okay, this is a chance to go show how great we are defensively and go out there and make some plays and then really snatch the momentum back from the other team. And you could change the game, or you could look at the Vikings, or look at Buffalo, where Baltimore really had the, momentum. You caused them to miss a field goal. Then next thing you know, Cyborg gets going on. It's a great locker room after that. Versus now, Baltimore, Buffalo could be in your head. So very easily you can change not only a game but your season, by handling a sudden change the right way.
Very easily you can change your mind and come to the understanding and the realization that college football is fake.
College football is fake. And I told you guys that Greg Sankey in the SEC was not going to allow the Big Ten to move this much farther forward and create separation.
So instead of catching up, they're pulling back.
And I'm going to explain to you why this is WWF. And if Nebraska fans right now, I know that everybody's – look, I know that, People Magazine with the engagement and then the halftime speeches leaked and saw this. So we have momentum now. Okay. So now you're going to take that with what I'm about to tell you now, and then you team up with Georgia Tech and raise all holy hell.
More at 4.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.